The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
Away in the water. Fear was locked on the mortal face as a pair of empty eyes stared out into the darkness. An eerie calm filled the silence as she pulled away. Looking at the motionless body, sight of the familiar face confused her. In the dark water, a younger version of, I can't say the name because of spoilers, floated with lifeless eyes staring back at her. Slivers of rotting flesh drifted loosely from the face in the slow undercurrent. Trying to understand what she was seeing, Katie's mind raced with questions. She wanted to scream, but fear losing her last breath in the strange nightmare. As she watched the body drift into the water, it seemed to become more waterlogged and decomposed with every moment. As his dark, dead eyes stared at her, the body gained new life. It tried to speak, but no sound would come out as it mouthed the words, "Watch out, he will kill you." As it concluded its warning, its eyes instantly went blank again. The last of the air bubbles escaped its mouth and drifted up towards the water surface. Lost in the dream, Katie was adrift between reality and spirit. The quiet calm of the darkness surrounded her. Just as she thought the nightmare had finally ended, a pair of unseen hands suddenly grabbed her calves and dragged her further down into the black water. Immediately, she was jolted from the confines of the dream world and back inside her own bedroom. Kater wondered, is this real? Opening her eyes, she could see nothing in the shadowy darkness of her room. Still feeling the hands pulling on her legs, she jerked away as she repeated the yell.
Floated with lifeless eyes staring back at her. Slivers of rotting flesh drifted loosely from the slow undercurrent.
Okay, guys and ladies and gentlemen, I think we lost Kimberly there. We're going to have to call her back here in just a second. Let's see what's going on. Well, maybe not. There's something weird going on. Okay, let's see.
As his dark, dead eyes, he tried to speak, but no sound would come out.
Alien worlds have attacked.
Watch out. He will kill you. As it concluded its warning, its eyes instantly went blank again.
Well, I can still hear her. What's going on?
Escaped its mouth and drifted up towards the water surface. Lost in the dream, Katie was adrift between reality and spirit. The quiet calm of the darkness surrounded her. Just as she thought the nightmare had finally ended,
That was weird, peeps. I don't know, a screen froze. I had my eyes closed. I was listening. Yeah, I do that sometimes. I don't know. We'll give her a call back. We'll try. It's ringing her right now. I don't know. I was listening too. She breathes pretty good. Yeah, I was enjoying it. No telling. It just stopped.
Hi there. I'm so
sorry. We got her back. There we go.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I was leaning back in my chair, my eyes closed, listening, and then I didn't hear anything. I said, What? And I looked up and I could still see your face, and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
That was weird. Now, what did you hear last?
That's a good question. Wait, where were you? I'd go back about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, somewhere right.
You remember, hundreds of the where she was.
Because for some reason when it muted, I was thinking about the snow, so I'm not able to tell you what I was thinking. Because I was reverting back to something you said.
Let me see. An icy chill pierced through the submarine fog. Did you hear that?
That's where you were. I think that's where you cut off.
Okay.
That's what I said. Because for some reason, it made me revert to think about the snow.
Okay. An icy chill pierced. Sorry about that. An icy chill pierced through the slumbering fog as the frigid water stole each breath one by one. What is happening? With her fading sense of reason, she thought, how can I save myself? Grasping desperately at the twisted ropes that clung around her neck, the realization of her impending fate consumed Katie. Someone help me! Hundreds of air bubbles escaped, cascading towards the surface as her battle for life continued, pulling and tugging unsuccessfully at the tethered weight that held her there. Her mind reeled in panic. Water filled her lungs, extinguishing any hope of survival. Her mind screamed, oh God, no! With that, her last ounce of awareness washed away and her body went limp. The eerie shroud of death seemed to envelop her, leaving only a cooling corpse behind. Strangely, the dreamlike vision continued as her spirit drifted away in the water. Fear was locked on the mortal face as a pair of empty eyes stared out into the darkness. An eerie calm filled the silence as she pulled away. Looking at the motionless body, sight of the familiar face confused her. In the dark water, a younger version of, and I can't say, sorry for spoilers, floating with lifeless eyes staring back at her. Slivers of rotting flesh drifted loosely from the face in the slow undercurrent. Trying to understand what she was seeing, Katie's mind raced with questions. She wanted to scream, but feared losing her last breath in the strange nightmare. As she watched the body drift in the water, it seemed to become more and more waterlogged and decomposed with every moment. As the dark, dread eyes stared at her, the body gained new life. It tried to speak, but no sound would come out as it mouthed the words, watch out, he will kill you. As it concluded its warning, its eyes instantly went blank again. The last of the air bubbles escaped its mouth and drifted upward towards the water surface. Lost in the dream, Katie was adrift between reality and spirit. The quiet calm of the darkness surrounded her. Just as she thought the nightmare had finally ended, a pair of unseen hands suddenly grabbed her calves and dragged her further down into the black water. Immediately, she was jolted from the confines of her dream world and back inside her own bedroom. Katie wondered, is this real? Opening her eyes, she could see nothing in the shadowy darkness of her room. Still feeling the hands pulling on her legs, she jerked away as she repeatedly yelled, let me go! Kicking her legs several times, Katie clawed her way towards the head of her bed and reached for a small lamp on her nightshade. Turning it on, she looked for the culprit, only to find the same face from her dream staring back at her. When a look of horror filled Katie's face, it released her legs and stared back at her with sorrowful eyes. And I have to stop there because it becomes too many spoilers.
Yeah, well, as it was, I was getting people. What do you mean spoilers? She's not going to tell you the name, dude. You got to go read it.
That's book three. So
actually, that's kind of creepy. That's something that is a little scary, a little creepy. Well, that's what she was telling you, Denise and Stephanie. That was the experience she was telling us about prior to reading the insert. Yes, that's how she was showing she was incorporating it into her book. Yeah, scary, but Jesus, hey, yeah, some great. You better calf drag you under the water out the covers. You're gonna be screaming like a banshee. Hell, I'm a grown 255-pound man. I'd be screaming like a band. What the hell are you talking about? As I'm reaching for my gun. You know. No.
You have something pulling you off the bed in the middle of the night. And I promise you, you will not be caught.
He said, well, I'll just stand up and tell you. You ain't going to stand. You're going to run like a baby. Get the hell out of here, man. You don't even know what it is. Damn thing's invisible.
It had my leg.
Well, no, you can't see it. It's invisible. You can
hear it. I was halfway off the bed when I had that happen to me. And so I had one leg up in the air. The other one was dangling in midair. And then half of me, my upper body, was on the mattress while Chris was grabbed under my arms and started pulling me back. And so at that point, I lifted off the air. I had no, basically, Chris and the spirit were the only things holding on talk to me. So there, you know, I was able to incorporate some of that. I know that it's a little different than what I experienced personally. And yeah, it was pretty scary what I experienced personally. But you can see where that influenced that scene.
Well, no, actually, Star Man, Star Woman, I see y'all in a pair tonight. Yeah, we just see all the weirdos. No, I agree that it was probably warm in itself, but they were talking about like when we were knocking the box off. It sounds like it was just building up the energy to do what it wanted to do, or practicing to get the energy. Yeah. Well, you know, I imagine it takes some effort when you're on the other side to affect on this side. It's it does. Oh no, that's my herd tonight. I don't know why I can hear them throw their asses out on the porch in a second. I don't want to be. Yeah, no. Anyway, no, they're not possessed demons. They're just animals. They act like they're possessed.
So I have one leg up in the air.
I don't know what they're barking at. I live in the middle of nowhere. There ain't even nothing to bark at unless you're outside. So it's kind of weird. But no, I agree. It did seem like it was trying to build up the energy to strengthen any idea why it was so mad or so vindictive.
Actually, I did do some research on that. And I looked up some papers and did a search on the area. And I was in an apartment complex, like I said. And apparently, in our apartment complex, there was a serial rapist and that actually got caught and trapped, basically, with one of his victims. And he committed a murder-suicide. So I don't know exactly. Nobody would tell me exactly where that was, which apartment, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't connected to our, you know, at least our building.
Well, yeah, and it could have been just passing from apartment to apartment. You know, you never know when crap like that's going to happen. It's one of the advantages I like about living here, because I know this place was in, you know, there was 22 feet of salt water here. It was deep. And I live in pretty much on a little island, so it's nice. And you don't get like New Orleans, it's so paranormal, there's so much activity, especially in the suburbs, it gives you a headache. New Orleans ain't as bad as it used to be, because Katrina actually cleaned some of it out. You know, a good chunk of the old city and a good chunk of the St. Bernard Passchendaele were also under salt water for several days, even though there was bodies floating around. You know, it's weird. And you'd think this would really make some places haunted. You could actually go by in your boat, and there would be like 4, 5, 6, 7 people tied up to a stop sign. They were floating. They were dead. But that's how they would keep them. That's so they could come back and get them later on and find them.
Oh, wow.
Salt. Yeah. And they would just be floating there, you know. Well, no, they didn't. At the time, they would find these bodies, but they were in small boats, so they would tie them up so that the big boats could come by and clean them up later on. And I mean, this is streets. I mean, these were normally streets people were living on. The water was still 5, 6, 7, 8 feet deep. It was just creepy. And then when it all drained away, you could tell all those places where it had been there for a few days was kind of, it was deafening quiet. Not, you know, because usually you would hear some, even if there's no people around, you'd feel or sense them. You didn't feel, there was no animals, no people, no nothing, no spirits. It was just like a dead zone. It was one of the creepiest things I ever felt. And I mean, it wasn't nothing to be scared of. It was just a creepy feeling. Now it's back to its old haunted ass self again.
I have a theory about all that with regard to salt. You know, there's the old wives' tale about putting salt on your doorknob. I mean, your thresholds and your doorways and everything. And I've actually had a couple instances where I know it probably worked. They actually trapped one spirit in a room with somebody that was having a serious situation. And that room was like about 25 degrees colder in that room than it was in the rest of the house. And that's where all the activity was. And they put salt down, and it didn't leave that room where it had been leaving the room previously. And I have I don't know, you know how everything is basically energy, right? Okay, so I guess this is kind of like my theory that me and Chris have talked about in the past, is that because even spirits are going to be a form of energy, and that crystals they emit a certain energy in themselves. You know, they have a frequency. and that maybe that those particular type, especially like larger salt crystals and things like that, they have a frequency that the spirits do not do well as far as crossing is concerned. It's kind of like, you know, how you have a dead space, you know, where you don't have something that a signal can go through because you don't have a tower. It's kind of like that sort of thing. Yeah. And I don't know that that's, I know that's kind of simplifying it, but I don't know. It kind of makes sense to me.
You know, we know everything's frequencies and energies and waves. So when it comes to all of that stuff, I always give people a wide berth because I've seen so many weird things. And I've also seen where some frequencies interfere with stuff around you, and mm-hmm. it also seems sometimes that it's really weird, but when they first started putting up power wire systems, the high tension wires, we had gotten a lot of reports, and even before my time, they had gotten lots of reports of serious types of hauntings of poltergeists near when there was towers nearby. Mm-hmm. And since then, they've changed the type of wiring they use and a couple other things, but a lot of people back in the day thought it attracted them to certain areas where, like, there were crossings and stuff like that, if there were ley lines nearby, and these, they tend to attract. I don't know if it was true or not, but I have noticed since they've transferred over to the new systems in the last 20 years, you really don't get those reports anymore. So maybe there was some truth to it. But that just proves what you're saying. Just it's something that's being drawn to the energy of being pushed. And then I noticed, you know, a lot of witches I know and a lot of demonologists I know use, I don't want to call it frequency magic, but for lack of a better word, that's what it really is. They're either using energy, force, or sound, but they're not using anything physical, and they're not using magic in the way you would think of in spells and potions and charms, and that's not really how they're doing it. It's almost a force of will, a better way of describing it. And I think a lot of times what the demons are is just any kind of leftover will, imprints on something, some strong event, or somebody or something that just says, I ain't going over there, screwed it, I like it here better. Or, you know, like the priests like to always say, they just don't know they're here.
Right.
Walking around.
Some of them, I believe that's the case. And I also think that in some cases, you know how when you do a lot of renovations and things like that, that there's energy that from repetition, maybe somebody's been doing the same thing for 10 years, doing this, you know, walking through the same corridors and such, that energy is, it's, you know, light is energy too. And so that it gets trapped, maybe, you know, it's not necessarily an intelligent thing, but the energy gets trapped, and it kind of reminds you of an old tape recorder, you know, that it just, it, when you open those, when you move those walls and you open those up again, that it releases some of that energy. Because if you notice, that happens a lot when people do renovations in homes, that the energy of the house picks up. And so, because wood and a lot of the materials that are used in building are absorbing, you know, the wood especially is porous, other, you know, sheetrock, all that stuff's very porous. And that it might be something that actually absorbs some of that energy like a sponge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah. Well, no, it could be. I mean, we got all kind of weirdness stuff out there. And it seems like down here we notice in certain areas of the swamp seem to hold impressions better or longer than others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. You know, there's a place out in Honey Island Swamp, you know, where the Honey Island Swamp Lots lives, by the way, which is also NASA. It's, if you go back, you get about 11 miles back in the swamp. It's off the Pearl River. And you'll be standing there, and you'll hear people talking. I mean, just like we're talking. You're like, what? Sometimes you'll be back there, you'll hear Indians chanting. You know, we got back there with a group of like 17 one night when everybody saw this, what looked to be like just an Indian tribe around dancing around a fire. And what was funny about this, when it cleared out and we walked over there, there's actually a monument there to an Indian tribe.
Right.
To actually to something that happened there. Yeah, so I have no doubt that they can, energy can imprint on stuff and stay there until it dissipates, which could, depending on how much energy it was or how it was obtained, could be forever. Or for a very long time, at the least. But I have noticed in some areas, things do tend to fade, and in some things, people can run off or control or You know, I hate to use the word exorcise out of the house, even though I know a couple of exorcists over there. Actually, I know a good friend of mine. He used to be a Baptist preacher. At first, he was a Catholic preacher, and then he said he couldn't take it anymore, so he became a Baptist preacher. And he started talking about the paranormal in his church and ufology and stuff like that, so they asked him if he would step down. And so now he's a drinking, ex-preaching, exercising SOB. That's his description of something. I think he's a good guy. He said he's had enough of it, and he knows all the stuff's out there. He's crossed it too many times. He's had too many experiences with people trying to help people, and he said this is just what he's going to do until he dies now. And get this, one of the churches, he won't tell me who, one of the religions actually pay him, keep him on the payroll.
Huh.
I was like, you SOB, that's what a lucky job, man. He said, yeah, you want to do actually, which I don't want to do. So I don't want to. I don't want to be exercising. I got a rule. I leave the demons alone. Demons leave me alone. If not, I got lots of Malaysian and salt in my kitchen. We'll have a field day. The big rock salt. I'll burn her ass. It's one of them things you just got to kind of deal with. But I mean, like in everyday life, now you know, like you drive a lot, I drive a lot, and I'm in a lot of places, a lot of times. And I can go days and weeks, years sometimes, and nothing really. And then every now and then I'll be somewhere, and I'll just sense something weird, or I'll feel something weird. Or I'll be thinking about something, and somebody will come up, hey, did you know about this or that? And I'm like, really? Wow, okay, well, that's kind of cool. A little weird, but cool. I think people in general are sensitive, not just some are way more sensitive than others. It's actually, Bruce, I don't think the whole population is. No, I'm sorry. I don't think the whole population is psychic or sensitive. I'm sorry. I've done too many testing for iCard. We've tested too many people over the years for psychic abilities. We've done the color test, the card test, the number test. And the best we've gotten is 50-50. Usually it's like 65-35 against. Yeah, it's usually 35% is right, and the other 65% is wrong. So every now and then we run against somebody who's gifted. He's really, really empathic or telepathic. And for us, you know, it's one of the things. But for the most part, when we test people, they're not. If you don't have to do it that way, if you want a person, you can take a coin and just flip it and let somebody call it, keep calling, and just keep track of where they're calling and see. It's 50-50 on that usually. You know, it's going to be actually, you know, probably end up getting it less than you're getting it right now. If you start calling it and you realize you're like 75% or 80% getting it right or more,
that's unusual. Yeah,
she got a gift. There are some gifted people, but in general, no.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know, they're scary people. All right, Michael. Michael wants to know if you've ever had like a lighthearted, fun experience with something paranormal.
Yeah, we actually have had several of lighthearted stuff. One night, we were getting ready to go to bed, and I was right before we got, we had been laughing about some stuff and joking around all evening, and then we finally went to bed, and we were both laying there. We had already cut off the lights, and right beside my side of the bed, I heard, and this old female voice sitting there laughing right beside my side of the bed. I mean, it couldn't have been more than a foot away. It was that close. And Chris and I both, you know, we both said to each other, said, did we just hear a woman's voice laughing in our bedroom? And you have to understand, we were in an apartment, but the thing is about those apartments, we lived near the Speedway, Charlotte Motor Speedway. And those apartments have a different code because of the sound that's involved in the racing. You know, if you don't have some sort of buffer in those apartments, it would be terrible all day long, you know, on a Saturday or whatever, you know, for hours with those races. So they had to increase the sound buffer for those apartments. So I would literally, to be able to hear the apartment below me or beside me, I'd have to literally put my ear up to the wall and listen, and they would have to be really loud. Like if I put my ear down to the floor, I could barely hear somebody playing the piano. Barely. And so the fact that we heard a voice laughing in the bedroom, you know,
right beside my side.
That was it. I mean, was right there. Some other things that happened. There was. We had a. Well, the with regard to the stuffed animal, that was actually kind of funny because it was like my daughter came to me. And when we first found out about the stuffed animal, she was the first one to discover it. And she came up to me and she said, "Mom," she said, "my stuffed animals keep moving around." I'm like, "Really?" She said, "You sure you just didn't, you know, have them, they didn't just fall off or anything?" This is when the first, some of the first things that happened. She said, no, I mean, like, I'll leave it, I'll clean up my room, I'll make my bed like you want me to in the morning, and I'll put my stuffed animals in a certain space, and then I come back, and my stuffed animals on a different, you know, piece of furniture, you know, on the chair or something. And I'll be like, okay, so what we did was we put the stuffed animal in the middle of the room. I said, well, let's try this. We got to go shopping anyway. So we put the stuffed animal in the middle room, and I told the spirit, I said, listen, the stuffed animal's here in the middle of the room, and you can play with it while we're gone. You know, just don't do anything, you know, don't make a mess or anything, but, you know, you can play with this while we're gone. So we go, and we're gone for a couple hours. Nobody was in the apartment while we're gone. We come back, and the stuffed animal had literally been turned around 180 degrees. So it was like a game for about 3 weeks where we were moving this stuffed animal all over the house. You know, and it kept moving it or it turned around or whatever. So it was, you know, it was kind of, it was interesting. You know, it wasn't like scary or anything. It was just really interesting to have that happen. And, but that with the laughing was probably the one that was the funniest.
I was like, get out of here. Yeah, be laughing at me before I go to bed. Get out of my damn house.
I
would probably irritate her. What do you think so funny here, buddy? I'd have to get a go. This is a hard time about it, but you know, people tell me all the time they hear things, or I notice too a lot of times when people are, there's a point where they're getting ready to be still, and for some reason it seems to be a spot where you can pick up or sense things or hear things that you would not normally pay attention to. It just seems to be there. You know, some people say it's a time of the day, and I said, I don't know if it's a time of day more than it is just that split instant that you're there. And everybody can get there, it's just most people just ignore it. You know, even when they do that, like, oh, no, I didn't see that, I didn't hear that, no, whatever. And then they just forget about it, and then they move on with their lives. For a lot of us, fortunately, we're just too nosy for our own good. Wait, did I actually hear something? No way, man. Then I got to get confirmation that I'm not going crazy. Did you hear that? Yeah. And, you know. But most people would just rather, even in today's world, a lot of people would just, I guess it's a complication for their life.
Right.
You know, they don't want to mess up their soccer mom, golf daddy, you know, going to the club life, which I understand it. It's a good life. I'm not hating on anybody. It's just, I got to know things, people. I know there's a lot of shit going on this planet, excuse my language, and I got to know. When I cross over, they're going to go, man, you've been a busy little bastard, haven't you? And say, yeah, because I want to know. I mean, it's just too much. Whether you believe in God, you don't believe in God, whether you believe in demons, spirits, aliens, it doesn't really matter. There's other things out there other than us. You just need to look for it. And if you feel threatened, stay away from it.
Yeah.
Feel scared, stay away from it. And if you think you are going to do something magic or dark or mess with anything along those lines, learn to protect yourself first. There's lots of ways, saging, smudging, putting salt, there's lots of things you can do. Just be careful and look it up. Talk to somebody. You know what? I'll tell you a lot. I know for a fact there's a lot of old witches out there because I know a lot of them. And warlocks, whatever you want to call them, and they'd be more than willing to help y'all. They're not evil demon people going to drag you to hell or nothing. No, it's not like that. They're just people who... Now, I wouldn't necessarily call them... Some of them are Wiccan, but I wouldn't necessarily call them all Wiccan, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunately, I can't say they're all following in those kind of guidelines, but they're out there and they can help you. And I encourage people to go out and get involved in the paranormal. Go on a ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Go on a sky watch. Talk to people about their experiences. Kimberly's probably bringing a ghost just to torture her old man. Yeah, you know, when he gets on his bad side, I'll bring a ghost over and mess with him. I know. Where are you bleeding? Honey, where did that ghost come? I thought we got rid of all these damn ghosts, baby. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, we actually haven't really had a lot of activity since we moved, which is really kind of strange because we were living with it for almost 3 years. Daily, practically. You know, I now I did notice that the activity would wax and wane. So, like, it would go be seasonal. It would be, like, 3 months really strong, and then it would be 3 months light. You'd still be there, but it would be lighter. And I was tracking it. And then it would be 3 months really strong, and then be 3 months lighter. So it would seem like to run in around 3 month cycles. I don't know what the deal was, but, I mean, that was something because I was actually tracking it. And now one of the – really, there's a couple really, really, really. One was really creepy. This was creepy. Chris was in the shower, and I had already gone to work. He was getting ready to go to work. My daughter was already at school. And he was taking a shower, and, of course, you know how it gets all steamed up in the shower and everything. And all of a sudden, he heard, Chris! And he thought it was my daughter's voice. Yeah, just like she said, it sounded just like her. And he sat there and thought, what is she doing here? You know, she's supposed to be at school. So he opens the door, opens the shower curtain. You know how, you know, normally when you've got the door closed and your shower's, you know, full of steam, it stays there, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he said, all the steam disappeared and it was freezing. He said, he hurried up and he rinsed off. He got out of there right away.
I bet you did. I'm out of hell, out of here.
He realized that he didn't know, you know, who it was, but somebody was mimicking my daughter's voice. And no one was there.
I never liked spirits like those. You know they're not up to nothing but no good. I mean, they may not be vicious or nothing like that, but they might be mischievous, might be a better word.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had one. There's a couple places we lived over the years that were haunted. And when my son was young, his bear, we'd put him, you know, put him in bed with the bear. You'd get up in the middle of the night, and Dan Bear would be sitting at the end of the bed watching. Just like it used to creep the hell out of me. I mean, nothing bad. And why? I was like, okay. And then one morning I kind of came in, and the bear's sitting in front of the door. I'm like, what the hell's going on here, man? I just, after a while, and even my wife used to freak out about it. I'm like, I don't know. I said, obviously it's the bear or something else that I'm keeping an eye on, so I'm just going to leave it alone. I said, it's nothing that wants to hurt the kid. So it seems to want to keep an eye on him and protect him. So I'm like, that's fine by me. That works with me. Maybe it was a spirit guide. Maybe it's an alien. Maybe it's just a demon. It said, oh, look at this little shithead. I have no idea. But, you know, things like that, I leave alone. And then there's been places like this one house we used to have, Black Hand used to come over. We had all kind of bad shit happen. And we eventually moved out of it and said, to hell with this place. And it just seems like some of them seem to be spirits that are just there, chilling out or doing whatever. And some places they seem to be mean or vindictive, or a lot of times it's like they just want to hurt you because it makes it feel better.
Yeah.
And maybe it gets energy from it. I don't know. It's
probably does. Because fear is it spends emotion. You know. The one thing that I don't know if you've ever seen this before. This is one thing I saw. We Chris and I both saw at the same time, and I've never seen it anywhere else. We've done a lot of investigation. Was a black anomaly, like a, I hate to use the word orb, basically that's what it was. It was like a black, about 2.5-3 inch circular mass that would come out of, believe it or not, it came out of the guest bathroom all the time. And it would come out of that room, that bathroom. It would float around, and there, it would happen in the middle of the day. It would happen at night. It happened all the time. Okay. And it would float around the living room, and then it would go up through the ceiling. And Chris and I would both see it at the same time, so it wasn't just one of us, you know? It
sounds like something that was on a path or a route or something, but I had no idea what it was. See, that's the thing. There's so much. And people forget there was stuff here before us.
Yeah.
You know, a long time before. You know, most people don't realize it's been almost a billion years of life, 800 million, how much, but, you know, there's a lot of it here, and we don't know if you get in spirits, demons, and that stuff, how long that stuff actually been on the planet. So, you know, you don't know how much old stuff is milling around out there that you run across from time to time. It probably stays hidden for whatever reasons, but
the same time.
It's out there. You know, older cities, you know, New Orleans is a pretty old city, but compared to some of the European cities or places like that where, you know, like France is what, Paris is 2,500 years old.
Right.
England, you know, London's probably at least 2,000 old. I mean, you know, these are cities built on top of cities, built on top of cities and death and crime. Right. And God knows what all went on there. So, yeah, they should be pretty well haunted. There should be a lot of stuff to see in there. But you know, like I told a good friend of mine one time, is if there's as many ghosts floating around this planet as I think there is, or y'all say there is, then shit, there's nobody in heaven or hell. They're pretty empty. I said both places are kind of on the empty side. I said they all seem to be staying here or hanging out in purgatory, one or the other. Which, for some reasons, a lot of people seem to think Earth is purgatory. I said, well, I don't know. I said, but if this is purgatory, man, I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be going the other way, he said. But, you know, there's a lot of and that's the thing. I mean, you could sit here and do theory after theory after theory.
Sure.
You know, and why, you know, like Clara just asked, she said, you know, why do demons actually pick certain people? I don't know. If they sometimes I think they pick certain people, and sometimes I think it's just a matter of where you're at.
Compared to some of the European cities or places like that, where
I think it has to do with the openness too. You know, because if somebody is more guarded against certain things, like if you go into, for instance, if you go into a paranormal investigation and you are guarded. You know, you don't just allow things to try to attach themselves to you, things like that, that you're going to have a different response from those spirits than something when somebody is like totally saying, oh, you know, you hear people, especially on TV, saying, oh, come inside me, you know, feel me, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's the stupidest thing you can do. You know, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what that is. Why are you sitting there saying, you know, come fill me? You know, that's just, I'm sorry, but that's not smart. And because you don't know what you're inviting. You know, you might think it's one thing. It might be actually another, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's why I tell people be careful when you play with Ouija boards.
Yeah, I don't like Ouija boards.
You know, it's funny. Little quick story. This is going back like 30 years. We were sitting in a house one night in the hallway, actually. And it was three of us. We were playing with this Ouija board, and they started asking questions. I said, you know what? This bullshit Ouija board crap. I don't believe none of this crap. I said, if you're actually a spirit, you talk to us through. You said, do something, knock on a ceiling or something. All of a sudden, you bam, bam, bam. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, what the hell? So I said, no, it was a coincidence. So we did it a few more times, and sure enough, every time we said it knocked. I was like, what did y'all call into my house, people? So I just, to me, it's a way of letting something in that you're not really controlling correctly.
Right.
You know, it's all fine if you want to try to contact spirits. And I'm telling people, I don't know why you want to talk to a demon in the first damn place, but.
No.
You know, regardless what you want to talk to, just protect yourself. Make sure you do it. And make sure not just you, because you remember, most people don't live alone. You know, you might be letting something in that could mess with your children, your spouse, your family, your friends. You know, you got to keep that. Just got to learn how to keep it to yourself or just protect yourself. And like I said earlier, there's lots of ways to do it. So do it now.
Yeah, I don't like
Ouija boards. Oh, you mean... But you want to know why she's not a paranormal investigator? Well, she's a writer.
Well, I actually have done a lot of paranormal investigations. We got into doing that because of the haunted apartment. And we were actually, for a while, because of Chris being haunted since he was a kid, eventually became paranormal speakers. So we actually spoke at the Stanley Hotel. We spoke up in Bellbrook, Ohio. We spoke at one of the Masonic lodges that we were allowed to go in for a paranormal investigation. In Kentucky, we were there. So we've had a few instances that we've been able to do that. And I produced a web show, one webisode of a paranormal investigation that we did in the middle of nowhere. It was a house that was owned by, it was built in about 1850. And it was owned by one of the doctors in the area that became a state senator, and he lived there at the time of the Civil War. And Stonewall Jackson's army actually went right beside, marched right beside his house. So being a doctor in the middle of nowhere, and still out in the middle of nowhere, I'm talking about really, you don't even get a radio signal out there. That's how far out this place is. So there's like one Hispanic station that you hear on AM, and that's it. You don't get cell service out there, nothing. I mean, it's bad. So anyway, it's middle of nowhere. At least it was when we did the investigation. It might have changed by now. But anyway, but what we did... we've done about three investigations there, and one of the times that we went out there, we actually have a spirit box, and we heard, we got a lot of activity. I mean, like I said, this is about middle of nowhere. There were no radio stations except for that one Hispanic, and our, you know, the spirit box, so in case people aren't familiar with the way it works, it actually, it, the frequency of the radio changes every, like, quarter second. So every time it's doing that, it's changing the actual wave, the frequency that it's taking in. So it doesn't have more than a fraction of a second that it could get a word in from a particular radio station. So every once in a while, you'd hear the you know, for the Hispanic station, but that was it. And we actually got a bunch of EVPs on there. And one of them said, never will give up, just never will. And it had a country southern voice. And then right after it finished, you actually heard on the radio, heard a shotgun. And it was right after that. And then right after that, there was a little girl's voice that said, Mommy, creepiest thing. So it was like, that was back to back to back. And we asked some questions, and we say, like, one of the questions we asked is, what's keeping you here? And the response was spirits, and that's the way it sounded. It said spirits. Another, you know, we had a response with regard to ask, what's your favorite song? And there was this deep, kind of like an older black gentleman sounded like, you know, said, that's Walking the Dog. And I looked it up in 1965, I think it was. That's Walking the Dog was a hit song. It actually was like a blues song. It's actually pretty good. And I had never even heard of it before, but that's what came over. That's Walking the Dog. I was like, well, that's pretty cool to have something like that, you know, something totally, you know, unheard of, you know, we had never even heard of, be an actual song. And so we had a ton of activity, and it kept on repeating the last word. Like he'd say, Chris would say, I'm on your bed, and it said bed, you know, and it would repeat the last word several times, like it's sitting there playing with us. So there was another EVP session that, or spirit box session that we actually did in Bellbrook, Ohio, and we were talking about frequency earlier. That entire building was not grounded properly. There was actually, they said, they warned us because there was some actual metal rods that were sticking out that if you touched them, you could get electrocuted. I mean, it was bad. But you could actually feel the energy in that building. And in some places, it actually felt like kind of like a, staticky moose. I don't know how else to explain it, but the satellite felt like a staticky moose. And one of the rooms in that building, we kept on getting, me and Chris were off to our side by ourselves, and we kept on hearing this voice say, Scott. And it did like eight times, Scott. You know, and we're like, okay. So then one of our friends who's named, I don't know if you know, so Scotty Rorick, but anyway, he has some psychics, you know, abilities. And he was on the other side of the building, and he felt like something was tapping him on the shoulder, and he came in, and it said, Scott, one more time when he came in, but then it stopped saying Scott. Well, then we were like, well, what, you know, how did you die? And it kept on saying blood. It said it like about another like 8 times. I mean, it was really weird. It kept on repeating the same words. And then we said, well, where were you injured? And it said gut. And it said that a few times. Then Chris was like, what? Who was the president at the time that you less remember? It said Roosevelt. And we've got this all on audio recording. We actually recorded it. And then Chris asked, Franklin or Theodore or Franklin? And it said Teddy. So it was just like this ongoing. We had this conversation for about 30 minutes on this spirit box and found out that this guy, supposedly, what we got from the questions that we asked, was the guy had literally been murdered right there in front of that building. So it was just kind of weird. And it was, you know, around the time of Teddy Roosevelt, according to him. So it is, you know.
And you get weird stuff like that. I mean, you get really, really kind of strange stuff like that. There's a graveyard we used to go to out here that's about, it's about 300. It was in the 1750, 1760s. It's out in the middle of the swamp during the Pearl River. Actually, it's on NASA land now. NASA, back about, I don't know, about 75 years ago or 50, 60 years ago, and there was 4 towns where NASA is today. They incorporated all 4 towns and took it over as NASA. And most of the towns just, you know, were melted away and took down, and the graveyards were left, but everything else was taken away. And there's still some roads and stuff, but most of that, even those, a lot of those are grown over. But these graveyards are actually still maintained and used today. And it's creepy when you go up in there. I mean, very first time I ever stumbled across one, I pulled up and I was amazed. The whole lawn in front was well manicured and cleaned. And when you got up to the graveyard, everything was well kept and strange. Then they had these pieces of string with these white, look like little ghosty things you'd see at Halloween, hanging over them with a bottle of water underneath them. I still to this day do not know what the hell that was. Went back, they were gone. I mean, you know, it was a couple of times we went out there. One time we went out there, I know we brought something back because it really made a lot of commotion before it all got under control. It was strange. It's a very interesting place. Plus, it's creepy because there's a bunch of babies' graves out there. I mean, babies, like, you know, 2 foot long, you know, coffins. And it's these graves. It just creeps you out when you see how many there are. I mean, it could have been anything. It could have been a plague. It could have just been, you know, infant mortality, I imagine, in the 1700s was pretty good. So, but it's just this weird place. And these are just scattered around down here. And almost all of them, there's something in there. I mean, plus, what makes it even worse is before NASA got them, these are places like people like Marie Laveau and them would have went back in the day. Mm-hmm. So if you were a witch and you lived in the bayou or you were in one of the swamps, which they seem to have light down here, that was a perfect place to go. Like if you needed to get, you know, get bones or something like that. You find them a lot too in the cemeteries, and there people will go to try to get some bones so they can do spells, or, you know, they got a few necromancers in the city as well, a bunch of freakos. I don't know why you wouldn't lay with dead people, but hey,
that's your own thing. Yeah, that is creepy.
You know. I don't get that one, you know. And then the power spells dealing with that's y'all's business. I'm not hating on y'all. Everybody's, you know, I don't think that is legal, by the way. Whoever typed that into the chat, I don't think it is. I don't think it's legal to sleep with a dead person, even if it's your spouse.
Coffins.
We're not even going to address that last comment.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate for radio. Well, it is, but just not, you know, in this particular hour. It's not people. You know, necromancer thing, that's, you know, that's what you want to do. And I know it's more than what we just talked about, but that's enough for me. I'd be like, okay. Well, I met a group of them, and one of my customers owned a house on Magazine Street in New Orleans, about a 240-year-old house, and there was a big group of them lived in there. Boy, I used to hate to go work with it. And they were all gothed out and shit. You know, of course, everybody wearing their goth outfits, and the house smelled like damn mildicide. You know what I'm talking about? Bombing fluid.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, guys. I said, and then I was like, does any vampires live with y'all? I mean, what the hell's going on here? And then I got to where I couldn't. I had to screw with them every time I went in.
And then the palace does.
Like, I said, they're going to eat you or something. I said, whatever, man.
I'm high in cholesterol. They're not going to eat me. I couldn't resist after a while. I mean, it was just because some of the stuff they were doing was just too funny. And I was, you know, I was younger back then anyway, but I was, it was just stupid. I was like, hey, but that's what you want to do. You want to do. Because, you know, there's a lot of witchy groups in New Orleans. There's only two real main covens in the city itself. There might be some out towards the suburbs and maybe on St. Charles, but there's only really two that main ones in there. And one's a coven of 13, one's a coven of 12, but they've been around for a long time. You know, the power there has been switched over. These covens, I know, is at least 200 years old. So it's kind of like a hand-me-down from family to family. No, they don't do big witches. They don't. They kind of walk the druid line in the fact that they like to keep the 12 or the 13. But the druids used to start out with more than 12. And then the last one, the 13th one or 14th one, was sacrificed. That's how that worked. Yeah, so it was 13 of y'all, and then all of a sudden it was 12. it's just part of it, you know. But no, I don't like going walking around in graveyards. Whoever just said it, no, I don't. If Kimberly wants to go walk, she can walk in all the graveyards she wants. I don't mind chasing aliens. Look, I'll go get on the mothership tomorrow and harass them, but I'm not going to leave. You know, they're dead people. Why you want to? When I'm dead, I don't want y'all bugging me. Of course, I'm going to be cranky if you wake me up out of a deep sleep in the grave. I'd be like, all right, who's out here playing this music? And God knows what it'll sound like. You've probably been dead for 20 years or something. You're like, oh, really? I'm going to haunt the hell out of these little brats. And kids today still like to go to graveyards and smoke pot and drink beer and do other things we're not going to mention on the air. We don't want to give you teenagers any ideas.
I've actually got kind of a funny story with regard to graveyards. My first date with Chris, I've actually done a blog post a while back called my fun first date at the grave in the cemetery. And what happened was we it was kind of a weird serendipity thing. We talked all night. You know, we actually went to high school together, and I never really knew him back then. We had mutual friends, but we just never connected together. And he actually sent me a request on a dating site and everything, and I recognized him. And this was after I'd gotten long separated from my ex and was getting divorced and everything, and so I thought, well, I'll get out, start dating again. But I recognized him, and I thought, well, he gave me his phone number, and I said, well, I'll call you. So I went ahead and called him. And we talked for 12 hours about all sorts of stuff. You know, we both love history and all, you know, just all sorts of stuff we talked about. And we just kept on recharging our phones and talking on one phone, swapping and everything. Anyway, we talked all night long. We ended up the next morning, we were like, okay, so we're going to get together for breakfast or something. Sure enough, so we went ahead and got together for breakfast. And then we were like, well, what do you want to do today? And it was a nice day. And there was a park out in the middle of the country, which I had never been to. And I thought, well, that would be a nice open area. It's a good day for it. We can walk around. It's still public, but we can still have some privacy. And so we went out there, and in the middle of that park was this little fenced off, I guess this iron gate area that was separated from everything else. So we went over there and actually had his ancestor on the plaque. Now, he had never been there either, okay? So we didn't have a clue that this was there. His ancestor had founded one of the churches in the area, Rocky River Presbyterian Church, and that was the original homestead where he lived and was the original site of the church. So we had no clue that that was there. So we thought, and I was like, well, Mom's got this really old graveyard, and we knew about some Revolutionary War heroes that were some of his ancestors and related to him that were during the Revolutionary time period. And I thought, well, there's this really, really old graveyard up near my mom's house. So why don't we go up there? So we went up there and we found like about five of, and this is not a racist thing. It's called the Cabarrus Black Boys because they actually put soot on their faces and tried to pretend like they were runaway slaves. Okay, because they tried to, the English were basically sequestering all the wagons and everything from the people in order during the Whiskey Rebellion. And so they had actually kidnapped their couple of Chris's ancestors' younger brother and the wagon that he was in. So they wanted to go get their brother back. And of course, all the stuff that they had in the wagon. And so they ended up putting the black soot on their faces, pretending to be runaway slaves or Indians or whatever, in order to hide and they ended up going up there. Well, there's nine of them. Well, we found about four of them in that particular cemetery, and we thought that was pretty cool. And then we went into another cemetery, and we ended up actually finding his ancestors on our first date. So it was kind of weird, you know, but it was kind of like this quest we ended up on. You know, we weren't like trying to do paranormal investigating or anything. It was just kind of like a quest, you know, to find these ancestors of his and then also some of these Revolutionary War heroes and figure out where they were. And they just all happened to be part of this church that his ancestor, his other ancestor, had founded. So it was just kind of.
It's always crazy when that happens.
Yeah, it is. That always kind of fascinates me when that happens. Or any kind of those kind of connections are made, or yeah, because that shows you right there, y'all are probably meant to be hanging out together. You know, you,
mm-hmm.
seems like you work well together. That's always a good sign. You know, you're getting along well. It just those kind of things. You know, it just kind of affirms, and it just kind of helps affirm. Because when I met my wife, I had been dating a lot of people in and out of relationships and shit. I was like, yeah, I don't know about all this relationship crap. And now I've been married for, God, 36, 37 years.
Huh. Long time.
I have no idea why she puts up with me. I tell her all the time, I don't like to put up with shit. I said, neither my girlfriends don't like to put up with me either. I said, so I don't know what's going on here. She's like, I drive her crazy. But I was like, she's older than me, so it made my life a little easier.
Yeah.
And but she's a witch, so literally people know she's a she's one of those too, but she's a witch. No, she's a yeah, I'll tell you said that. You'd be wishing he didn't tell you that. I'm just saying, guys. No, it's all this stuff is always interesting. It's always fascinating to me. It's and for a lot of times I notice when I go places with people, or even when I'm listening, like I was listening to you read earlier, I get like energy from that. I can feed from that. And actually, by the way, I was enjoying listening to you read. I was just like, yeah, listen up. Yeah. But see, then I close my eyes. As soon as I close my eyes, the computer goes crazy. I'm like, what the hell's going on? It's just the universe messing with you. Like, pay attention. What's going on here? Denise, I just said, Denise. Yeah, she's married. And I don't even know if she swings that way, but she's married, so don't worry about it.
Well, you know what was even weirder about that whole, you know, serendipity thing? When we got to, after we've been dating for a while, we realized that we had actually met when we were like 12 and 13 years old.
See, that kind of shit just is like, what the hell?
We actually remember, we were at a mutual friend's birthday party, because our friend was a girl that we both knew. She went to my church and was in my youth group, but she lived in his neighborhood. So we didn't hang out with the same groups together, but we had the same friend. Anyway, we went to the birthday party when we were kids, and we both remember playing Connect Four. We sat there for like at least 30, 45 minutes playing Connect Four on the floor. And that was the first time we met. Now, get this. This is the really kind of weird thing about this. You know, I was talking about the phone call that we talked about for 12 hours. Well, he was actually, he was getting back in the area, and he was wanting to connect with some of his old friends and everything, not necessarily all romantic or anything, but he happened to be on the phone with that very person that was our mutual friend when I called. Talk about serendipity. So we met originally when we were at her birthday party. We were on the he was on the phone with her when I called him for the first time. Isn't that weird?
I know that is kind of weird. Those things kind of freak out. It weirds out. It's it's just kind of weird how that kind of stuff meets. You know, it's weird because it's how I met my wife. It was weird. I used to get off of work and go down to one of the stores down there and to get something to eat. It was like early in the morning. She used to work early morning. And I'd seen her a couple of times, and I started harassing her. We used to come in there sometimes. We'd be out, you know, off work, out drinking and stuff. So I came in one night, back in the day, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, remember, this is New Orleans. This isn't. But they used to sell shotgun shells in the convenience stores. I'm not kidding, people. They actually sold shotgun shells in the convenience store. It's not just Louisiana, most of the South. But anyway, I thought we were dressed. Matter of fact, I was in a suit, dressed it to the nines, but I didn't have any shoes on. I was wearing white socks. And I walked in, and I said, I want to buy a box of these shells. We're going to go out to the swamp and do some practicing. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. She's like, no. Wait, what, excuse me, bitch, did you just tell me no? I was like, she said, no, I'm not selling them to you. I said, wait a minute now, what do you mean you're not selling me these? She said, no, I'm not selling them to you. You can forget it, it's not going to happen. I'll call the police first. I was just stunned. So I said, okay, that's how it is. Well, we used to manage a store up the street. And I was working a late shift one night, and I see a knock on my door, my back door. It's a kiosk. I'm like, night. So the guy walks around as a cop. I'm like, well, what can I do for you, officer? And he said, I got a cup of hot chocolate for you and some breakfast. I said, and I'm looking at this cop like, whoa, dude. I'm thinking, I was like, first off, I don't swing that way, man. And when, you know, I was just kind of shocked. He said, no, no, it's from a lady down the street. She sent me. I said, oh, really? So after that, we started talking, and I actually would work a few more late shifts so I could talk to her at night, and then it was history after that. But it was just, it's just weird the way that kind of stuff works out. And then we found out just recently, and I mean just recently, that our families in Italy grew up like, I don't know, 10 blocks apart.
Actually,
I hope we ain't related.
You know what? Actually, Chris and I both started doing our genealogy, and we actually have figured out several times where our families, our ancestors, probably knew each other, definitely knew each other, or were in battle with either on the same side or opposite side. We were in the same place. They were in the same place at the same time. Because we both have a lot of Scottish. And so we had some that were actually in Bannockburn and in Culloden and stuff. So, you know, we were actually had some people that were, you know, in those rebellions and stuff. So it's just kind of interesting, you know, to go back through that and to actually know that you probably had ancestors that knew each other. And one of them, he found one of his, you know, lines was descended from William the Conqueror. And one of my ancestors was one of his like captains or something. And there's actually a story that it talked about that, you know, when William the Conqueror came over to England and he conquered and everything, that they basically, there was a lot of the men were killed, and they basically married into the women, you know, married the women in the area to inherit the lands and stuff like that. Anyway, so the captain that was my ancestor was complaining because he hadn't gotten a certain allotment from land, and he was like, well, you know, all you got to do is look around. There's plenty of it, you know, go get some, you know. And so there was this story about him doing that. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that we had these actual stories where people that were, we know that we had ancestors, you know, that were rebellions that probably knew each other. It's just kind of so.
Interesting. Yeah, I always tease my wife. I'm like, are you sure we're not related?
Yeah.
That's it, man. You never know back in the day, man. What's going on?
Yeah, you never know. Well, people had like married their cousins and stuff back, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I had relatives. We, and you know, I didn't know it until when I was a little younger, a little earlier in my life, but. It's we got relatives all over Italy, and then a bunch of them moved to South America. Some moved to Spain, but a bunch of them moved to South America and then migrated up to the States. But I think my first ancestor came to New Orleans in 1711, and then we've got one as early as I think 1680 or 1690 that was in Florida. But it's kind of strange When you follow them back and see what they've been doing, where they're coming from. But it weirds me out. From time to time, I'll be flipping through pictures and see one that looks like us. I'm like, wow, that's like 200 years or 100 years ago. I'm like, well, okay, that's kind of creepy, weird looking. You really wonder, you know, it makes you wonder about reincarnation sometimes because you're looking at these faces and you're thinking, wow, this could be, you know, an aunt, an uncle, a dad, a mom. It's kind of strange. What do you mean, Jack? So you, what do you want to know? He wants to know, Jack asked, he said, does Kimberly believe that, oh, okay, I'm trying to get that wrong. He wanted to know if you think that some demons, or not demons, but some like spirits are just held here, not from them, but by something else, maybe trapped by a ley line or trapped by some force on Earth. You mean not anything spiritually related, right? Like not God or demons or anything, just like a force of some kind. I have no idea. What do you think? I'm confused by that question, Connie.
I'm not sure about the ley line thing. I mean, I feel like the ley lines can jack up activity. You know, I don't know that it necessarily. Now, I do think that in some cases, like we actually. This is kind of interesting. You know, William the Conqueror, I just mentioned, was one of Chris's ancestors. And William Conqueror's grandfather, if you ever watched the show Vikings, it's actually based on a lot of true historic people, but they mixed the people up to create a story. Anyway, Rollo was an actual character. I mean, was a character in the story, in the show Vikings, that was one of Chris's ancestors. Now, he actually became the Duke of Normandy, and I'm saying this for a reason. Anyway, he married the French princess, the Normandy princess, in order to, and said that he would be willing to guard that area of Normandy from other Viking raids, and that was actually fact. Well, what happened was that when he became the Duke of Normandy, they would call him Rouge, like Rouge, like Rouge, like red, right? Well, from the time that Chris was a kid, you know, I told you earlier that we felt like he had a spirit guide. We didn't think about this until we started watching the show and started doing this genealogy, but he had always called his spirit Red from the time he was a kid because of a red jacket that he was wearing and that he saw him in. And he said, when all of a sudden we realized that maybe that it was his ancestor that was basically his spirit, you know, and I'm not saying that, I know that's a long story to come back around, but, you know, there are might be other things that we don't realize that could be the reasons for those spirits to hang out, you know. And one could be ancestral, you know, one could be ancestral, one could be other things.
I have no doubt that there's reasons why things get pulled back or things get held, or, you know, how they come back around, stuff like that. And you know, I noticed for a lot of humans, because, you know, smell is a trigger for a lot of things. I wonder, you know, John, like the smell of ozone. Well, I don't know if it's always when ghosts or demons or presence that people smell ozone, but it does seem to happen. But what I meant by it is you'll be going through life and you'll smell something that triggers. And I kind of wonder for ghosts and demons if there's not like some kind of trigger like that. You know, that whatever they are, you know, wherever plane they're on, if something doesn't trigger them. Well, it's like those ghosts that repeat and then they stop repeating and then all of a sudden they do start repeating again. Something's got to be making them go on and off. You know, it's like a switch almost sometimes. And you wonder why, you know, all of a sudden they're here. And then why you've lived somewhere and there's never been any activity and all of a sudden one day there's something going on. You're like, well, where'd this come from? You know, or like something was laying dormant or something along those lines. Well, these days, I imagine you're hard put, especially in apartment complexes that are more than 10 or 20 years old. I doubt you're hard put to find apartments that where someone didn't die or something didn't happen. Yeah, because there's so many of us living here. I mean, right now there's 320 million of us. So, yeah, people die every day. Things go on every day. You know, bad things happen. Good things happen. By the way, Bruce and to Willa, not all demons are, I mean, not all spirits are bad. Not everything out there is, you know. That's why sometimes I wonder when they go provoking shit. I'm thinking, why are you provoking? It might not be something that's bad. You're provoking someone that may just be hanging out for whatever reason. It might be a guardian watching over you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple of times when I know a couple of psychics I know used to come by the house and they would see something that would hover over like my son's crib and stuff. They were always talking about it. It creeped me out. And then, like I told you about the bear being moved around, so obviously it was
something on there.
It might have been his grandmother. It might have been something else. It could have been anything. If you believe in guardian angels, then he had one. Or still does, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but well, I don't think guardian angels can step in every time you F up people. I mean, you got to learn lessons. I mean, that's part of life. So, I mean, yeah, I think they're there to help you when they need to be. And, well, it depends what you believe. Maybe they're demons. I don't know. Maybe they're demons making you think they're angels. You know, look, you're going to have to wait till you get that other side of this. You know, and don't, I'm telling you now, don't go pestering God with questions like that, because he's liable to send you, or he, it, or she's liable to send you to the other place. Why did I say he, it? Because I don't know. God might be a he, God might be a she, God might be something entirely different. It may just be the universe making us manifest. You never know. Yes, you never know. Well, what I mean by that is the universe, since the universe creates life, okay, it creates and destroys life on a daily basis, by the way. So, you know, if it can create life and create itself and create the universe and create us, maybe we're just little cells or little pieces of the universe made manifest so it can figure its own damn self out. Maybe that's why we have such a big need to figure ourselves out, so it can figure itself out. Damn cursed universe. Not the right way. Hey, look, it's just a theory amongst many. I'm just saying. It's not even one of mine. No, it's somebody else's. It's just, you know, it's like to think because we're all made out of sources. Stardust. No, everything is. Everything in this universe is made, or I should say, in this galaxy is made from the same stuff. Yeah, same matter. Isn't that a bitch? You got the same matter as everything else, your dog, your cat, the water thing, even the dog poop. Yeah, you got the same
matter.
You know, people don't think about that when they talk about, oh, well, we're all made out of star stuff and it's, everything's connected. Yeah, that's true. But when you start thinking about what are some of the stuff you're connected to, you might not want to think about it.
That's true.
I'm just telling you, but I know we got to get out of here in a few minutes, guys. But let me get Kimberly to run down on her books again, just so y'all know where to find them. And remember, they'll be linked up on the site all week. So go by, click it. What I'll do when the archive posts later, excuse me, I'll include the Amazon link in there, so it make it easier on y'all to find it, because it'll repost to Facebook later on this evening. And of course, like I said, all you got to do is go over there and click on her lovely face. It's right there, click, and it'll bring you right to Amazon, or just click on her name right below it, and it'll take you right there. It's real easy, people. And she's got good prices on the book. Go get them, enjoy them. Actually, I'm ordering a set because I got a friend of mine who loves these kind of books. So I'm going to send him just to torture him. He loves to write to writers, so he'll probably write to you. He's insane. There's some guy from Louisiana writing to you, he's insane. That's him. Yeah, I mean, he's a good kind of insane, not a bad kind. I don't want to get the wrong
idea. Now, just in case the people are interested, I am I'm getting ready to order to do a stock order, because I'm almost out of books. I'm completely out of book one. I've got one book left of book three, and I've only got a few handful of book two. So I'm actually going to be ordering some, and if people are interested, I am doing a special. If they want to contact me on Facebook, that's fine. You know, you can search my name, Kimberly Brulette, author, editor. My last name is Brouillette. So, but you can search my name on Google. I'll pop up for the most of the first page. So, but I am going to be doing a special through. I should be able to do it through Monday. And basically, the books on Amazon are about just right at $18 plus shipping and handling. I'm doing them for $15 if somebody wants to pre-order them through me and pay for them in advance. And it'd be $15 plus shipping and handling per book. If you want to do all three books, I'll knock off $5. So it'd be $40 plus shipping and handling. So, you know, it'd be about $5 or $6 or so shipping and handling, depending where you're at. But the that's of course within the continental U.S. But if you're interested in doing that, and I would actually personalize it, I still have to get them printed and everything, but I would personalize it and sign it and send it off to you. I do take PayPal and stuff like that. But if somebody's interested in getting them directly from me, they can. And just comment on any of the posts and everything. I'm sure I'll, you know, be notified.
Her name is easy. She's easy to find on Facebook. So just pop over there. Well, no, there's links to all kind of stuff to her. So just go on the site and link, and it'll pop you around. If not, like she said, just type in her name. Or if you can't remember how to spell her last name, just go by the site and go by UFO on the Cover and copy and paste it and go away. No, I recommend you go out there and read them. Like I said, I'm going to get a set because I got a friend there who wants to, he just likes reading. And yeah, he's still old school. He's younger than me. He likes the tactile sense of reading. He's not like me where I can get in the car slapping a CD and I'm just as happy as if he gave me, I'm actually more happy than if he gave me a book.
Right.
I can enjoy it more. I can concentrate on it while I'm doing stuff. I like to listen, like sometimes, like when shows are on, if it's a guest I don't want to hear, sometimes I'll pop in. I don't mean one of my guests, I mean somebody else's guest from another show. I'll pop in a CD and listen. It allows me to do stuff, and I actually absorb it better. That way, the only thing I absorb good reading is tech manual side games. I just, you give me a technical manual, a schematic, anything. Oh yeah, I read it like it's, you know, people look at me like I'm crazy, but books, not so much. I like to listen to them. I can read, you know, I've read all the classics, but I'd rather not have to.
Now, we are actually producing the audiobooks right now. So the first book I'm hoping to have out by the end of the summer. Depends on how quickly, you know, we've actually gotten several chapters. You know, we're probably on, we just started on about a few weeks ago, so we're on like chapter 5. You know, we haven't gotten too far into it, but I'm hoping to get it done by the first book by the end of the summer. So hopefully later in the year I'll be able to have those available for everybody. Yeah, those are nice.
And people, if you get the book, remember on Kindles, and a lot of the readers today, they've got a little feature in there that will read the book to you. Just be careful. Somebody's not like Microsoft Sam. Hi, bye. I can't take that voice, but some of the voices I can. And like I said, I tell people all the time. And I appreciate everybody who sends me books. I got quite a few books. I haven't got my pre-Katrina library back, though. You know, that was ridiculous how big that thing was. I mean, oh, yeah, there was 500 ufology books alone. There's probably another 700 or 800 books of other things. And then there was some witchcraft books in there that cannot be replaced. There was a, we called it the Red Book. It was from 1891.
Wow.
It was by a witch in England. It was a really good spell book. It went up. The flooded. It melted is what happened to it. It was really weird. And there was some other stuff like that went. And there was a bunch of other stuff. You know, we had a Linden Library going on, too. So there was a lot of material in there. That most of it, it wasn't so much that it got wet. Because of the moisture in the house, everything just swole up. And the print just kind of like faded off of it. Oh, yeah, I'm not kidding you. A lot of these books, when you open them, were like, just pages and nothing. It was creepily weird. It was in my house. It was weird, but I got lucky. I'm not complaining. I only had 3 inches, 4 inches of water in my house. So I brought in the crew, gutted it out, and we went to work. Hooked up some generators, and away we went. I told the demons to get on down the road. Told the ghosts to get on down the road. Told the ET to get on down the road. We're coming to make some money.
Now, you can also find me, just FYI. I'm also on Twitter, write for you, WRITERIGHT, the number 4, the letter U. And then also on Instagram, I'm author Kimberly B. So, you know, you can find me on some other.
Instagram. I think, yeah, my Instagram. I got two accounts on Instagram. Twitter, no, I don't speak to Twitter anymore. I have an account with like 25,000 people on it. One day they just told me it was banned. I was like, what? I said, wow. What? I don't know. You're just banned. I'm like, what do you mean I'm banned? They said, you asked, well, can I start another account? Yeah, sure, but this one's banned. I'm like, what?
That's weird.
And still to this day, they will not tell me. I've written to them all kind of crap. They're like, well, you can't tell you why. You're just banned. I'm like, okay, obviously somebody did something on the page they didn't like, but and then I went and used the same email and opened another account and they didn't care. I don't even know what to think about Twitter anymore. So you know, yeah, we got an account of it. People just don't use it like we use everything else anymore, but
sure.
Well, you know, we had the last two presidents, which were both twits.
We're on Twitter, so you know what that means. Twitter's for twits.
You can also
on Twitter. I guarantee it's not too big. I will prove this to you right now. I have 2 Twitter accounts. I know people have 8, 9 Twitter accounts. Just like I have 12 Facebook accounts. When you hear these big numbers like Mark Zuckerberg, we got 3 billion. You know, he's probably got about 900 million, maybe a billion. Because almost everybody on Facebook has at least 2 accounts. Some people have more. Twitter's the same way. People have multiple accounts. Not everybody, but about half of them. So when you hear these numbers, you know they're false numbers because of them. They count the duplicate accounts. And like these closed accounts, they count those too. Yeah. So when I tell you 2 billion, it's probably more like 1.1, which is still good.
Yeah,
Bruce, okay. The 1.1 billion twits in the world. That was wrong on too many levels, man. No, Twitter's fine. I mean, Twitter, it got better now that they double the amount of characters you can have.
Yeah.
It used to be 160 or something.
144, I think.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, such a pain.
I was like, oh, let me say, what? I can't say nothing. What? No. So, you know what? That probably what got me banned, probably because I used to have all the station stuff fed automatically to it. All the shows, everything promoted there automatically, so maybe they thought it was a bot or something. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? Yes, but right, you can't really go out. I'd go for the package deal. Martha, what about it, Martha? Are these paperback or hardback?
They are paperback books, but they are thick books. They're around Secrets in the Shallows is 363 pages or so. Devil in the Details has over 400 pages. So these are, I mean, they're pretty hefty books, but they... People told me they read them. They're pretty fast readers, the page turners.
For somebody who likes to read a lot, I'm sure it is. They blow through pretty fast. Guys, get out there and get them. Don, I don't know. You hardly ever see hard back books anymore. Every now and then, but it's rare. Well, because they cost so much.
Yeah, they do cost a lot more to produce.
They're way more to produce, and you have to charge way more for them. And then a lot of writers don't feel right charging $30, $40, $50 for a book that on paperback is going to be, you know, a third of that. So I can understand that. And I can understand people want hardback books, but really in today's world, I just, you know, that, and look, be grateful you're getting paperbacks because, you know, with the internet taking over and readers and everything, just be glad you're even still seeing that. 100 years from now, you might not even see, there may not be any books except in libraries.
Well, you say, I mean, you can see them, you know, they're pretty,
that's a nice size book there. Yeah, that's a big book, too. That ain't even a little kinky book.
And it's got big type. It's got larger type, so 12-point type, so it's easy to read. But they're available on Kindle if people want to, you know, get them on Kindle. And free on Kindle Unlimited if you've got that.
Set the hounds off. I was going to show you a book, but I didn't set the hounds off. Doing apparently knocked it on the ground. Yeah, it's a book about. See, that's the kind of use I'm used to seeing paperback books like that. I'm like, that's just a pain in the ass. That's going to get lost or sat on or destroyed. Or my little she devil is going to get in and eat it. It took me into little pieces of paper all over my house. Like, no, guys, I'm serious. But whoever just sent me that, yeah, you can send books to me anytime. A lot of people we deal with read, and I still do loan out books even today. So people can read them and stuff like that. No, we even send them over in, I mean, over through the mail a lot of times. Well, because some of these books are hard to get, and some of them are expensive. And I do get a lot of books sent to me by paranormal people and from UFO people and stuff like that. And occasionally I do sit down and read through them or listen to them or whatever. I mean, but yeah, feel free to send them to me anytime. My address is public. You can find it on it's on one of the sites. It's on United Public Radio site for sure. I'm pretty sure it's on the iCross site as well. So just pop over there, write to me, drop it in. You can, as a matter of fact, you got more than one address. You can send it to my office in New Orleans or my home on the Gulf Coast. So either way, I'll get them. And to whoever just sent that, Dean, yeah. I actually do that a couple times a year. Different hosts send me books. They'll send me 5, 6, 7, 8 books, and we'll do contests and give them away. Yeah, you know, do this, do that, write to the host, do whatever. But you know, just some kind of little contest, and then we'll give them away. We probably give. I think last year I gave away 60 books. And a couple of things besides that, it's and then, well, other hosts do too. Sometimes if they come in, if it's not a subject I'm doing myself or it's something somebody's just asking me to do, sometimes, you know, one of the other shows might do. And it's good for the station. It's good for the things. It's good for to get the books out there. People get to see them. And we keep them on the sites. They stay on the sites for weeks that way. And on everybody's sites, they're getting a lot of free press out of it. So sometimes it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, what's weird about this, I've been doing radio a long time. I have seen us do shows, and I've seen immediate responses to hosts where they sell bunches of books, and I've seen like crickets. I have no idea why. I think it has more to do with the tone of the audience than the tone of the guest. I've just seen it over years. It's weird. And then one lady, this poor lady, comes. She said, "Oh, I sold 2 books." I said, "I'm sorry, sweetie." And then a couple of weeks went by, and she calls me. I think the archive crossed over and populated somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. And she says, "Wow, where did the archive post?" I said, "She said I sold like 300 books yesterday." She said, "Right off the site." I was like, "Well, where?" And it just happens sometimes because they populate in so many places, even I don't know anymore, and I don't know when somebody's going to get it. And you know something, I hate to say this aloud, but people have gotten lazy about doing stuff. They'll put stuff on. I notice if they can find it on the internet for free, a lot of times that's the way they'll do it. Yeah. That's why you be so careful these days when you publish stuff that somebody don't go post it somewhere on.
Right. You
know, and then somebody finds, hey, go look at it over here. Go look at it over here. I know all those peer-to-peer things, a lot of them have gone away because, you know, the music industry was having fits with them. But so were writers and artists because a lot of this stuff was being pirated.
Right. Yeah, I actually found my book. My first book was pirated, and I got it. Somebody put it on Goodreads, believe it or not. And I actually got that removed. I mean, I was able to get rid of it. But, I mean, people don't seem to think about the fact that, you know, when you spent, like I've spent 5 years on this series. So that's
a lot of
time.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's part of you, like we were talking about earlier. It's part of your character, or part of your character's in it, is what I should say. But I mean, it's there, and you're kind of exposing people or yourself to people. So, you know, it's a lot for people just to go rip you off. And I get aggravated. I hear my material online all the time, and I sometimes get to the point where I'm disgusted with it. But it's part of what we do. It's just when I can't, I get it taken down. I'm like, oh, no, take it down. And I love when I hear people. I'll go like on a show somewhere, and I'll talk about research or something. Then I'll be listening to another famous radio show, no, I'm not going to mention any names, or TV show, and then I'll hear my research. I'm like, really?
Every now they don't give me credit.
No, they don't. But every now and then, the hosts know me. And they'll be like, oh, no, that's not where that came from.
Yeah.
And I said, no, dude, I've heard this before from, you know, some other big mouth. He said,
my first book was pirated, and I got it.
But I know we got to get out of here because I know we got a show coming up soon. But Kimberly, you know, it's always great to have you on. I had a lot of fun just chit-chatting with you tonight. Oh, guys, actually, we're going to get into some more demon talk, but then we got sidetracked, and then she started reading, and then she started telling me about another experience I had after that. We was in a different mode.
And we'll just have to do that another time, huh?
And through 3 or 4 phone calls, I seen, sorry, guys, we were taking questions from. Well, yeah, we do take them from YouTube. If you go on YouTube, yeah, it's open. I say that. Yeah, there it is right there. If you question, if you hit it, it's going to pop up right on my screen where I can see it. Yeah, we're trying to break people into YouTube. I notice we're getting more plays on YouTube after we're off the air than when we're on. Thank you, people. But, you know, I know because all these years we did radio, we never did it. And a lot of people bitch at me now. Well, I don't want to go to YouTube. I said, well, you don't have to go to YouTube. You can listen to us on the radio. But what if I want to see you? I said, well, then you got to go to YouTube. But I don't want to go to YouTube. I said, well, then listen to me on the radio. You know, you don't have to go to YouTube. I'm not making you go to YouTube. I just, you know, I want you to go, but you don't have to. But anyway, guys and girls, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to UFO on the Courier. I am your host, Joe Mentala. Kimmy Roulette was with us tonight. I don't know why I'm going to say her name different tonight. I'm trying to make you like the vampirist girl or something from... What was that TV set? Anyway, we're not going there. That'll be another 15 minutes. But guys and girls, again, get out, buy the book, check it out. You know, we're halfway through the year almost now, so you know what that means. Jingle Bells is only 6 months away. Get to stash in. Oh, I may have Kimberly on. Look, I always do offices. Y'all know that. The last 2 weeks of November and the first 3 weeks of December. I got that backwards. The last three weeks of November and the first 2 weeks of December, I do nothing but authors, good authors for Christmas present books. So you'll be, you know, I have her back. That way, you know, you can get some books out. Because books make great gifts for people. They do, especially for people who need to read something different and expand their brain. These would
by
be good
then,
books
I should have my next book out, too.
Oh, yeah, see, we'll be talking about that, too. So we'll have the other one out. We'll be chatting about that. Maybe we'll talk about how to control demons when she comes on. I know. She's easy to talk to. Anyway, yeah, it's going to be an easy show. But anyway, we got to get out of here because I'm getting ready. I'm sure in about 3 minutes somebody's going to be hollering at me. I have to have my camera show tonight. Am I going to get to the show? There is some advantage to owning a network, but still, you know, the host get a little angry sometimes. Anyway, guys and girls, again, thanks for tuning in to United Public Radio and UFO Undercover. Until tomorrow, enjoy your lives. Have some fun. Look, and remember, there are other things out there other than just daily, boring life. Check it out. Good night, everybody. Dun, 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 dun. We're clear.
Hear that? That's the sweet sound of Minute Maid slushies at McDonald's, turning up your summer with every sip, slurp, and ah.
For a limited time, get an icy cold medium slushie for just $1.50. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.